Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we have our night with George Dixon, who will be joining us very soon. And we had a great response to last week's show.
Quite a few listeners.
Many listeners, and we appreciate everyone who joined us. But we want to thank you. And tonight we're going to pretty much stay on track with that same with the same theme. We're going to be talking about the sixth day. And I think that we're about ready to enter that renaissance. I'm getting a little more hopeful every day when I start seeing it, because I think we're going to start seeing with Obama.
I'm very hopeful that, yeah, I'm very pleased that he signed so many presidential statements there.
Yeah, executive orders, and I'm really getting optimistic about his actions. And I think that regardless
of... Bring us back to the America that we were before Bush took over.
Before Reaganomics, definitely, and even before. They were bringing us back into the 60s, basically.
I want to get rid of words like homeland security.
I want to get rid of it, too.
It sounds like we're Nazi Germany, and I don't like it.
I'd like to get rid of homeland security.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we need it. I think
it's a huge,
expensive bureaucracy. And let's get rid of all our foreign wars. And let's devote these billions and billions of dollars on rebuilding our infrastructure, rebuilding our industry, and rebuilding our country. And I think that's where it's going to head. And I'd like to see more going into the arts and more going into the sciences.
Bush had cut a lot of the funding for national.
Yeah. So I mean, I think we're headed that
way. Arts. So it'd be good if we could get more funding for that.
I think we're headed toward a renaissance.
Well, I think you have to get people into school, you know. And in his economic recovery package, there's more money for Pell Grants and loans and
things
really doubling
sense.
The loans, because college is expensive. How are people supposed to afford it? You want to get as many people as possible into that.
Yes, George is with us. Good evening, George.
Yeah, good evening. How are you doing, folks?
We're well. How are you, George?
I'm fine here. I'm sorry I'm a little late here. I had some snagoos beforehand, but I missed what you were talking about other than grant programs.
Oh, we were talking about, Leo was saying that... it looks like we might be going into a renaissance, and we were talking about some of the bills that Obama signed, repealing some of the things that Bush had stood
for. Mm-hmm.
It's a good start as far as I'm concerned, and I'm very interested in that economic recovery bill, and I think that will help bring about a renaissance simply because one of the parts in it is an increase in the Pell Grant and the Staffordshire loans, which Staffordshire is China. so that makes college and university once again a possibility for many people.
But you know, the amazing.
Sounds good.
The amazing thing is too is that if we can just get the hell out of these wars, all right, stop bailing out these banks. Start concentrating on what's real in this country.
Well, you can't do it all at one time, Leo. I mean, you're putting it all in one package. You know, everything.
What this guy did in the last 3 days. Okay,
yes.
2 days.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chopped everything that Bush, almost everything that Bush stood for, or put together, and I'm hoping, you know, in everything that he did in the last 8 or 9 years. I'm hoping that we will see all of this stuff cut out, ended, over, done, and forever done, okay, within the next week, even, the way that things are going so fast. he laughed, but you're actually the one who has brought this to our attention, that things that took 20 years to do are now taking 20 days.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. But I understand this is part of the sixth day, because it's actually the rebuilding of the crumbling. On the fifth night, we actually exposed it for what it is, and it exposed itself.
Right.
And through change, you know, there has to be a crisis, and there has to be a collapse. And that's what's happened. It's collapsed, and we have something new now.
George, I think we're on the track to a very, very big discovery. And, hey, we have somebody here, a new caller. Would you like to talk to him?
Sure.
A guy calling from out west. Hang on a second. Let's see what he's got. Hello, is this number 310? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Hello, caller. Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make at this time?
No, I just want to listen into, you know, all the knowledge, and maybe later on, if I have any questions based on it, I'll definitely raise my hand.
What's your name?
My name is Adam.
Adam?
And I'm from California.
Right.
Oh, great,
well,
Adam. Welcome aboard.
Cheers. And I think somebody that might be listening in, I'm not sure, his name is Anthony Bryce. He's the one who told me about your show. And
Anthony's a regular and a good friend.
There's another fellow named, several people joined the chat room here. We got a guy named Derek Hughes, and he's from out west. He says, hello from out west.
Hello,
and
Derek.
Another person named Kiku. I don't know where they're from, but we welcome you to the show. And so it's great.
So we'll continue. And George, you were saying that the sixth day is the rebuilding.
That's right. It's the rebuilding, but it's the crumbling, and it's the starting from the ashes and rebuilding again.
Well, certainly, if that's true, just those signing of those bills by Obama made things happen very quickly, and that's what Leo was pointing out, that things seem to be happening so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, Obama hit the ground running, and he's just taken off. So we'll see what happens, but I don't know what will happen from here on, but certainly that was a positive thing.
Well, he wants to close Guantanamo.
Yep.
Well, I think at this point, one thing at a time, and I think that's what he's doing, and I think it's great.
He's doing one thing every day, which is
he's doing
more things
more than one at a time.
I was grateful to see the other day also that he put so much emphasis on the State Department. And he said that this is going to be...
rather than the Pentagon.
Exactly, and this is going to be the new approach for his administration, which is the State Department and diplomacy over military, insanity.
You know, let's not jump the gun first. He wants to try to settle things by communicating with people rather than isolating ourselves.
But all of these things are good. As far as I'm concerned, and all so far, what I see
is
something that we as liberals, I guess, we feel very strongly about these issues, and I'm glad to see them happening. But getting back to this period of the sixth day of the Mayan calendar, if we look at what's happening now and what's predicted for this time, this clearing out and this period of renaissance that's supposed to happen. It's happening, George. It's all happening. I sense it. I feel it. And the days of the conservative dominance of this country and the days of rigid fundamentalism and all and theocracy, it's gone. You know, it's on its way out the door, and it'll rear its head here and there, but it's essentially gone. And you know, and I don't think it's coming back. Not when you see over 69% of the voting public voted for this president. So we'll see what happens. But I'm very, very optimistic at this moment. You know.
Well, what you said about this Renaissance period that we are going through, and that's what this period is. We're learning very quick. But if you go back through past Renaissance periods, It all involved the emotional body or the emotional element, more so than the intellectual. And I think it's through the emotional body that we not only can get in touch with science, and that basically is what it did do, but it brought us back to the basics. And this is one area that's being stepped up now is because of the energy fields around us and also the grid patterns that these energies are following. What it's done is that it's raised our level of awareness and of consciousness, and it's speeding up options, as the Mayans talked about this time. We have more options to work with. And it's not the time, it's the number of factors, but we are experiencing it through the emotional body. And that is going to be the link, I think, with the extraterrestrials.
To meet our galactic neighbors, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think once we get out of this frame of mind of logic, of good and bad, we'll open to a lot of perceptions of reality, and I think this is one wall or veil that we have dealing with the extraterrestrials, or off-planet cultures, I should say, is because they really don't want to get involved with us because we're crazy. We're hot and cold, from one day to the next.
But I do believe, George, and I honestly believe this, that we may be crazy, but right now, I think we're getting tapped. I think we're getting. I think things might be out there that may be trying to contact us or may soon contact us.
They probably already are in contact with some people, just not us.
Right. But
let's raise us up another level of reality, which is real. Is that aliens have been on this planet for quite a long time, probably before us. And when we leave, there are alien cultures, from other planets living and living on the Earth, but also in our solar system. And we have contact with them, and they have contact with us. When I say us, I'm talking about certain control people, people who are a part of them, who actually have an interest in this planet.
So talk a little bit about, you said there are alien cultures living on this planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they, and who are they?
Well, I think one race would be the Martians. We have been connected so close to Mars for probably millions of years, and it's the connection we have with them. And at one time, Mars was a planet like ours. But apparently an atmosphere was blown away and it was somewhat destroyed. They went into the inner planet. And it's in the inner planet, basically, that they live. And just like there are cultures that live in our inner Earth that have been here for a while. But I think Courtney Brown in Remote Viewing talks about, in fact, he wrote a book about the Martians and how they've set up bases, underground bases, here on the Earth, but specifically in the New Mexico area.
Has she seen those? Has she seen the Martians through remote viewing? Has she seen their civilization?
I'm not sure, Leo. Are you referring to the Brown?
Does she describe it in her book?
What book are you referring to?
The one you just mentioned. Does she describe their place in New Mexico? And
no, it's a he, Courtney Brown.
Oh, okay.
I believe he's a professor, a teacher in a university, either in Colorado or somewhere in the Northwest. I'm not sure.
What does he say in his book, George?
He talks about the relationship that he has, that he originally hooked into, I think, through remote viewing. And it's a relationship that he's continued on, including following them here in the Earth and some of the bases.
Martians, George?
Yes.
The Martians.
Martians, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what does he say? What does he say about him? What are they saying to him?
Well, I don't specifically remember, what he talked about other than the differences in their cultures and how they want to come to the surface again. And I think there is some kind of restrictions in that. And that basically is what he talked about that I can remember. You know, it's been about 10 years since I ran through the materials.
When you say they want to come to the surface, they're living in the earth?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the inner earth?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Huh. Well, we'll have to take a look at that book.
Okay.
If we can find it and see what he has to say.
Yeah. Well, once I get my library unpacked, or what I'll do is I'll bring out my notes on that and
See what you can find on that. That would be quite interesting.
Well, I believe it can be found through the internet.
Yeah, we'll.
What's his name again?
Courtney
Brown.
Brown, we'll check that out.
We'll check that out and see what has to be said on that. Can you remember anything else that you've read about our galactic neighbors maybe being here that you could share with us?
Sure. Well, let's continue on with the Martians here.
Okay.
The relationship with the Martians, understanding the Sedona area, it was built by the Martians, but actually it was a time machine.
Oh.
And through this time machine, they were able to go back into the past and also into the future.
What's the time machine in Sedona?
Well, it's the Sedona complex.
Oh.
Sedona complex with pyramids, which basically it describes a time machine.
Oh.
What a time machine is.
Now, I remember, David Icke, you're familiar with his work.
Yes, I am.
Now, he gave a...
He
gave a big seminar out there for 3 days, I believe, a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, we had him on our radio show just shortly before he was going out there.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, Leo.
You remember?
I remember listening to it. Mm-hmm.
And he said that... That area was
lots of energy.
He says that area has tremendous energy and psychic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a number of things that he was going to do there that I can't recall right now. But there were a number of things that where he was, but he wanted to do it there because it was the.
It's a place that he wanted to go to receive that energy.
Yeah.
He had been in South America and to a spot that was very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That you could receive energy too. That's
right.
Where he had that real mystical experience.
Yeah, yeah. But also, he had a number of them as well. But the thing, not to get on that so much. But the thing is that if they actually Martians actually built a time machine in that area,
mm-hmm.
so that it must have a tremendous. Well, I heard that it's like a vortex. Is that correct? It's like a vortex there.
Yes, it is. It's a natural vortex.
Natural vortex, right?
But you have to understand tetrahedral geometry.
Oh.
And that basically is it describes fluid dynamics Through the Sedona complex, it was used somewhat as a time machine where the Martians were able to go back and forth into the future.
Hmm.
And it was from the future that they came, and, it's going back 50,000 years. These are some of the years that I've been exposed to, but, it could be millions of years. But understanding the Philadelphia experiment, basically... what it was producing an artificial field or intelligence. And
well, they're sharing our planet and have been for 50,000 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
If that's the case, how come nobody's seen them or made note of them before the this last right, and no notes I've seen or heard of. Since the last 10, 15 years since we've gone to Mars, or supposedly gone to Mars, it doesn't seem like there's been a whole lot of recorded contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong or?
Well, you're right.
Oh.
But what could you do on something like that?
Well, you would think. Well, what do you mean?
Well,
exposing
that knowledge, you know, who would you tell and how would you tell them?
Well, I look at the Sumerian tablets. I mean, for crying out loud, they wrote everything down there.
That's right. Yeah, but not everybody's read the Sumerian tablets or have an understanding of the Sumerians to begin with.
No, I understand, but that was back in 45 or so when they were first broken, right? I mean, they first broke the code, the Sumerian code, or the hieroglyphs. So in 1945 or
I think it was earlier than that, but yeah.
So but if you look at it from there, you found all that stuff. You'd think that they would have some more some understanding there too. But do you think other cultures would have had?
Well, you think we'd want to have some understanding with what these beings are and work together.
Are they humanoid, George, or are they reptilian?
They're humanoid. They're humanoid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
why do they live under the ground?
Because they can't live on top of the ground.
They can't have they can't be exposed to the atmosphere or what?
Well, I don't know, Leo. You know, I'm sure I could make a few things up, but I don't know. You know what is causing why they can't live on the Martian soil?
On the
I don't
surface
know.
Of the Earth.
On the surface, yeah.
You wonder if they're sensitive to sunlight or radiation or whatever because of their own atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Some people
believe that part of these Martians are also partly connected with the Anunnaki, and this is Zechariah Sitchin's work with the Earth Chronicles.
It makes sense that they would. I mean, it makes sense that if those aliens were known and
well, how are they connected with the Anunnaki? Do you know?
Yes, yeah, well, see, Mars was used as a way station from here to Nibiru, the 12th planet.
Right.
And anything coming in, let's say, to the solar system, or this neck of the solar system, went to Mars first, and from Mars it went to the Earth. And sometimes the moon, but it was like the way station that everything went to Mars first and then to the Earth. Now, the Anunnaki had people controlling or monitoring this, which were called the Ziggies. And basically, they were a military force a military group that used it as their station or their camp, and if there was any problems, the firepower would come from Mars. But they're also the intermediate to the major planet Nibiru.
Oh, okay.
Now I've mentioned before with Venus. Now Venus is a way station, but it's going to another neck of the woods, which Venus connects to the Sirius star system.
Right, we know that. So tell me, George, what's...
And that's uninhabitable on the outside surface, too.
that's what, George?
Venus is also uninhabited on the outside surface also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I think understanding the type of beings or consciousness you have, let's say with the Martians on one side and you have the Volusians on the other, they're much different. What the evolutions have been able to do was raise their frequencies, even though their planet has ammonia oxide or some kind of a poisonous gas, where it would kill us instantly. They were able to raise their vibration, where they would not be affected by that chemical or whatever. And that basically is how they controlled this third dimensional physical reality. What they do is they're able to harmonize with whatever environment they come in contact with. But it's a physical harmonization or change in their physical body.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Well, understand that it's just it's built into our evolution, because if you go throughout or go back in time, this human body, Homo sapien that we are, it's gone through quite a few changes. Changes not only blood types, but also types of proteins that the body needed. And that had to do with the outside influence of the environment, or ultraviolet light is just one example. And understand that different pigment types have changed. And part of that is for physical shielding of the light that we receive. And, you know, we as the Caucasian white people, when I say we, I'm a white person, but I'm basically vulnerable to diseases from the outside light more than, let's say, a Negroid person, because within their skin, they have shielding, and a part of this colorization is shielding. Part of this is copper and other minerals that the body would use, and that would actually shield the body. So on an evolutionary standard, you know, they would be more apt, a darker person would have more of an ability to deal with the environment than I would.
Well, a lot of sightings, if you will, or visitations, a lot of people have stated that aliens
mm-hmm.
have a translucent type of skin, their appearance is very veiny. It's almost like the skin is you know,
mm-hmm.
it's very thin and translucent, where you can almost see the veins and so on within the body, or it takes on a different color, but and semi-transparent. So, if that were the case, if that's really what, say, Martians look like, or other alien visitors, then yes, I can understand that sunlight would be very dangerous for them. You know, if they don't have any pigmentation or any way to correct that, you know?
Yes, but there again, Leo, like I said, it all has to do with the environment. Now, the type of aliens, their biology is much different. Some of the grays, what you said, have very translucent type skin, but understand that in their system, part of their secretion, their digestive system, they secrete their waste through their skin, through the pores, where they wouldn't have an anus like we would. Their digestive system is different. And also in understanding their blood system, you could relate it more to a plant in its chloroform, in the way a plant uses chloroform. In fact, going back to the early crashes where aliens were captured, if you'd want to call it that, in trying to understand them, they brought in biologists, you know, I think not only to communicate, but also get an understanding of what they needed, you know, in this environment or here on Earth, you know, a type of conditions they need to survive. So, you know, in understanding that our system, our evolution is the same as theirs, you can't, because it's different. It's different than ours.
Now, are they of a higher intelligence, or, well, they must be, they got here, but how are they, are they manipulating us? Are they manipulating the Earth's magnetic field, or the Earth's gravitational pull, the Earth's orbit?
Well, I don't think they're manipulating it, other than
they are they'll be affected themselves in one way or another. So it's maybe protecting themselves, but not using it against us.
I don't know. I don't know where to go with that. Because if there had been here for 50,000 years and we don't know, and nobody that I know of or read of has really ever seen them.
Mm-hmm. Then I guess they don't exist.
No. Had contact with them, then it's difficult to understand what they're actually, if they are here and what they're actually doing. But
well, you're jumping the gun there. Do they exist, or don't they exist?
Well, I don't know. I mean, nobody's ever seen them, and no one's recorded their existence, so it's like it's
that you know of. You know of.
Well, I mean, I can only go by what I know and
okay.
What's out there. So, now, if you told me, George, that they'd exist based on your information, then I'd have to say, okay, well, George knows they exist. But, I mean, I know that you've done alien abduction work and counsel people who have been abducted. And if that's the case, what have they, what were their, what did they say? I mean, were they abducted by Martians?
I'm sure there's a lot of questions that they could answer or they could entertain us with. But, Leo, I think in order for you to fully understand that, you have to take some kind of a stand. Either you believe them or you don't believe them. You can't, prove it to me down the way, I'll believe a little bit more. Either you do or you don't. So, I'm saying that, they have been around for years. In the academic communities, I mean, they echo throughout the libraries on different cultures and different races. And the knowledge that we have, not only from sources, from our own scholars from years past, but what was passed on to them. And part of that, a lot of that was passed on from alien cultures. And part of our makeup is following some of the direction that was given way back when, which I'm sure it changed not only the way we think, but also changes our biology too, because basically we draw to us the reality that we're playing with or what we're dealing with.
Well,
so,
George, in that case, I think you're going to be visited soon, and when you do, please call Leo and me. We'd like to meet them.
Now, how would you like to meet them, Leo?
How would I like to meet them?
Huh?
Up at your house?
Yeah, we can meet them.
How about the solitude of your own bedroom?
That's a little freaky for me.
A little freaky, why? because it happens?
I feel it should be more of a ceremony, to welcome these fellows, or these people, because
I think our customs, to meet someone like for dinner or and not be the dinner or have them for dinner.
Well, it's like this. I wouldn't want to be sleeping and then all of a sudden seeing this, 8-foot a Martian or something, hanging over my bed.
Why not?
Wouldn't be cool to me.
I think that would make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'd rather be ready for them and welcome them into the doorway and say, "How you doing?" and sit down, have supper and
my question, George, is when you read about sightings and thing or visitations that people have, why do they appear at such odd times and odd moments in such kind of strange ways?
In strange ways.
It's almost as though people have dreamt them up, they've come out of a dream world or some sort.
Okay. All right. Let's start there to begin with.
Yeah.
Where do you think everything that you experience comes from? You're the artist. You're putting this together. You're creating the reality that you're looking for, that you're living.
Well, I understand, and I've been through enough stuff over years that I actually believe in extraterrestrials. I believe in higher beings.
Powers.
and definitely no question in my mind about it. But taking that and this understanding of the underground civilization,
yes,
you know, putting those things together, I've never actually been in a position where I've been underground.
I wouldn't like to go underground, thank you.
Oh, well.
Although I think
I couldn't tell you how many underground facilities the government has. I mean, I'm talking about 8, 10 floors down. Some down as far as 2.5 miles.
Yeah, you've said that,
and you know, believe me, there I believe are I think anywhere from 30 to 35 or 36 of these underground establishments here in this country. Underground bases, whatever you want to call them.
Are they mostly out west?
No. No, they're scattered all over the place. I know there's a lot down in Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of the military presence there, and also because of the political, it is a political ground. Out in the west, there's a lot of open country, some of these bases, I believe, have hooked into the underground tunnel systems, and those underground tunnel systems are used on some of these underground complexes.
You had mentioned
another area that I want to bring out here is also Upper New York, the Catskill area. You know, I think the government does acknowledge. I mean, you have facilities here that go down. Seven floors. I'm not sure, but they'll hold 70,000 people. You know, for a length of time. You know, I'm talking about 2 years, 3 years, if need to. And along with these people, you also have records. That we need to survive, I say, as a civilization. I mean, it's like the Mormons. The Mormons have been able to hold the genealogy records together, and they have underground vaults, you know, in their soul complexes, and they store information. But they serve many purposes. But they do are here. They do exist, and understanding some of the knowledge that goes into this also connects with the energy grid systems of the Earth, and that has been changing. But that is part of the effect that we're experiencing now, and we will, and you know, to the end of this time, which goes to 2012.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, let me think for 1 second, and I'm trying to visualize this the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across a passage in the Agni Yoga series, the Illumination book of Illumination, the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that we operate in man, the human mind, but also just the human, not just the human state, but all of the universe operates in a three-year period. It operates in three-year periods, it said. And it's like
every 3 years you have a new cycle?
Or every 3 years you are at the crest. It's like the world goes into a swell, and then at the crest is at the end of the third year. And it's kind
just
of like
the ocean, like a wave on the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Biorhythms.
Biorhythms.
Hmm.
But it says that what you have to do is you have to think about that. You know, we tend to plan ahead. We tend to think ahead. We tend to think 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. But it said that the cosmic forces, the forces at work, are adaptable. That's not the right word either, but are every 3 years is when the swell rises, and then the consciousness again rises, and things start to manifest. So in other words, what's your planning now?
Are we
now?
On the upswoop now?
We are. This upswoop, but we're ready to go back down into it, and then 2012 we'll be back on the crest again. All right. So, but what this ascended master stated was that during that period we have to sow our seeds, we have to cast them out there, and so so that we can visualize the next 1 year, 2 years, but 3 years.
Yes.
But know that within the third year is when you'll see all of these things start to
come together.
Right. So, and that's according to that's the cosmic law or the cosmic rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You speak about, and within that concept, I said, well, geez, that's fascinating, because we're now at this in the sixth night, you know,
mm-hmm.
or sixth day, right?
Sixth day.
Right. And 3 years from now, we'll be, you know, 2012. We'll be in the seventh day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is a time when all of this stuff was supposed to manifest. It's all supposed to break
come together.
Loop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And then that's it, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're in the first year of the first stage, and that basically is building the ashes or building from the ashes. That's
right.
What we're doing. So we're building a foundation right now.
Well,
and what we do with it in the second period of this, the second year, would be putting it in motion. And the third year would be the benefit, the fruits of our labor.
Right.
And then what happens in the fourth year?
Well, what we're left with, the fruits that we're left with will be given in the fourth year, and it will become a way of knowledge or a way of understanding. Now, what you do with this new understanding you perceived will be taken in the next cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it's like organized belief. You know, in order for you to come to complete a focus, you know, you have to give it some kind of a path to follow.
Yeah,
it's a bad analogy.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense to me.
But anyway, but getting back to that third year aspect,
yes.
I found that fascinating, because we're now ending a cycle and beginning a new one, and that third year will be significant. But I see it in my own plans. I see it in my own life. I see it in
yeah.
that I'm
yeah.
manifesting now. But the most important part of what I wanted to talk about tonight, though, was this Renaissance factor, this new newness. Okay, that we seem to be.
Well, be an energy for building.
I think so, and creating, building new ideas, new adjustments, new everything. Everything will be. You're unleashing the creative spirit here, you know.
Because
and
it's not needed anymore. Because you've already created it.
What are you talking about?
And taking the creation now and using it, putting it in motion.
No. What I'm saying is no. I mean. Many, many things have to be created during this period.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To get us out of, you know, to phase out.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
Everything we no longer need. Like, we don't need fossil fuels. We don't want fossil fuels. We don't want environmental devastation. We don't want military arms buildups. We don't want death. We don't want destruction. We want new sciences and medicines that'll heal us.
And communication and
methods of communication that aren't so cumbersome and aren't dependent on wires and transformers
mm-hmm.
and so on, you know, things that are virtually wire free, that don't depend on that we can't lose in bad weather or earthquakes
and
or
no
whatever.
Torture. Oh, I'm so glad.
And no torture.
Oh, I was so glad about that.
But these are all things that are fading out as part of the end of the
yes.
of that era.
And the end
all faded.
End of it. It seems like Bush looked backwards. Obama looks forward.
Yeah, and as though and though I don't always trust this stuff, but what they say. But and I'm a great skeptic in this area. But at the same time. One of Obama's, the first thing he did the first act that he did when he came into office was he signed a wage freeze on all his top executives and senior staff, but at the same time, an anti-lobbying that nobody from the staff who leaves could ever lobby that
White House.
The White House.
Yeah.
I mean, whoa. I mean, the first thing he does is something on ethics, you know?
I like that.
Something on governmental ethics. That was a shock to the system. All right? And then, and then from there, I mean, just by signing that, just by doing that, was the only, that was historical in a sense because it was never done before. Right? And now, the with the stem cell research possibilities, it's unlimited.
It's endless.
The thing that, like George, because you're kind of a technical guy, he's upgraded the White House technically. These people didn't even know how to use computers, the people that were there.
No, they did, but their computers were...
They're all old-fashioned.
I read this article on what they were talking about. And the guys, this is the most high-tech administration that's ever been in office. Okay. All the people on his staff and everyone, they're very computer literate.
They all have these Blackberries and
they all communicate and they go through social networks. They believe in mass communication technologically, mm-hmm. and they went into the White House and they found that they found these archaic computers. They found 10-year-old software on it, word processing software and all this stuff and wires all thrown around.
And not everybody had computers either.
Not everybody in the staff of the Bush staff even had a computer.
Can you imagine that? Not even having a laptop?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So it's like these things were, I mean, they walked in there and they said, Jesus, this is like, you know, these things are in the dark ages. You know, these guys have been operating in the dark ages for all these years throughout the Bush administration. And it was interesting. But what I'm saying is that kind of mentality was what we were so disgusted at. Okay, Neanderthalic kind of
approach.
of approach to the
world.
To the world, and you're in charge of the largest industrialized country in the world. Okay,
we have one of the biggest economies.
Yeah. As well as one of the largest industrial capacities, all right. So, but to be able to see a president and a White House staff and so on, virtually in the dark ages.
The guy couldn't even do an email.
Yeah,
no.
I mean this tells you what we just left
behind.
And thank God we left it behind. But now we're.
It's looking at the ashes behind you.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's looking at the ashes behind you.
Or pile that we left there, you know? Yeah. And throw it out in the field.
I thought you'd be kind of interested in that. I was shocked, really.
Yeah. Well,
to read that things are in such a bad state there technologically.
Right.
I mean, I just assumed that everybody has these things because everybody I know does, right?
Well, with the millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars that they... that the government spends to upgrade stuff, you would think, thank God, they would have upgraded the White House.
Unless, you know, they all were given laptops that they took with them.
No, but these were secretarial desks. These were press secretary office. This was things that they got in there and they couldn't believe that they were still operating on these. On these ancient
dinosaurs,
these dinosaur computers.
But anyway, that's
just one more step, okay?
One example of what we've
left. And within one day or 2 days, with these executive orders, he's managed to wipe out 8 years of the Bush administration policies. All right, and I mean that's what we can expect now. And I think what we can expect now is the rapidity, the super acceleration, all right, of things.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
What have you, George? What have you noticed? Those are the things that we've noticed. Have you noticed some things?
um,
isolated now up there in upstate New York.
Yeah, this afternoon I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the show tonight.
And I think last week we all agreed that something great happened. There was a miracle that happened, that people, a plane went down in the Hudson River,
yep,
and everybody was saved. And that was a miracle. And I think it's some good news, something good that sparked us all. And before Leo started raving about 9/11, I used that as an example. If nothing else, it brought the American people together. And I think that was great. And I think Obama is doing that. He's bringing our minds together. But, you know, I was thinking about what we could do about some of the ills and dealing with pollution. We do have the technology. We have the knowledge that through water we can clear up almost 80% of our pollution, including our sicknesses. And we have that technology, but it's a matter of implementing it. Another thing is through medicine. What we can do is we can fight diseases and so forth with using sound, using light. And this has been used experimental over the years, but it's a proven fact. And through psychotronics, we've talked about radionics, on using certain instruments to harmonize the different frequencies within the body or when the fields around the body.
I think Anthony talked about that on one show. He mentioned that.
So let's say that if we have, if we're able to tune into a frequency of a bacteria, we can actually change it. We can control it. We can manipulate it. We can actually destroy it. And it's using basic knowledge that we have, but we have the instruments to produce this energy field. And I say energy, even though it's sound, it is an energy field that runs through everything and everything around us, including ourselves.
Hmm.
So if we could implement, let's say, some of this technology into the medical profession, first of all, it would eliminate a good part of these the money that's that flows, and it would also entertain, I think, new job opportunities, you know, in fields dealing with connecting the connecting with the energy systems of the body, not the body proper, physically.
Well, I think we're at the moment, George, and I think we're at the time now, and I think we're going to see incredible things happening, not just politically, but I think we're going to see things happening. I mean, we have the green light now. Okay, the green light is there.
Yeah,
and
well, that's all we need, Leo. We need that green light.
That's what we needed, and I think it's there. And now, and if this is the if this is real, this acceleration of evolution and acceleration of consciousness in the next.
There's no if, Leo. It is.
No, it is. Then, what just happened? What just happened in November?
Uh-huh.
Will be accelerated to the, you know, exponentially.
Uh-huh.
Okay, within the next year. So I can't even imagine right now what will happen here, what we'll be seeing. We could see anything. I mean, anything could happen. If for every year right now equals 20 years,
mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So for every year now, it was as though we've advanced 20 years.
Mm-hmm. 20 years.
Okay, in the future. So if I look at 20 years, we were in the 80s, you know? You know what I mean, George? You still with us?
What do you mean, the time period now?
Yeah, no, if we look at what our technological advancement today,
yes,
evolutionary conscious advancement or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if we look at it today, what happened within the last year,
yes,
was equal to what happened to us within the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not true?
I got
you. In other words, it takes now for us to advance. What took us 20 years now only takes us 1 year.
Right.
All right. So.
So there are all kinds of events that happen.
So if we look at what happened.
Well,
and
we went to the moon in the last period.
Well, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, I mean, 20 years ago was 89. All right. So in 1989 till now, okay, and in 20 years, we've done tremendous amount of things. In the last year, what we've developed scientifically and we've done politically, I think, okay, is more than we've done in the last 20 years.
Right, yeah.
All right? We've made advancements that we haven't made in
those are the
years.
Ones that you know of. Can you imagine all the ones
we don't know
yeah. of and we're not aware of that have been...
All the secret advancements.
Secret advancements that we don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but it took a lot for us to get there, first of all, for
yeah.
integrating the computer into our technology and our everyday life.
Right. The just to explain to this guy, Kiko, I'm reading on his chat here, he says he didn't understand the acceleration of reality. Now, where did that come from? And it's coming from the Mayan calendar, which is what we're talking about. This is the sixth night, which is defines the fact that we are every year that we year between now and 2012 is equivalent to what? 20 years.
20, 40, 60 years.
Or 60 years now.
60 years.
Well, 60 years between now and 2012.
And 212, right.
Right, but every year is equal to 20 years, so...
Equal to 20, well, it's 19.7 years, right, but roughly 20 years.
So if we look at where we were at 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
right, technologically, computers weren't, personal computers weren't even used yet, right?
Not personal computers, no.
What's that?
Not personal computers, no.
No, not personal computers. I mean, they weren't used. So let's look one more year from now. And let's look at then that throws us back 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What took 40 years to accomplish will now take one year. So
1 year.
One more year. So that would be, that would bring us back to, what, the 60s, correct? So within the next 2 years, we will have progressed 40. And then by 2012 will be, 60. So what I'm getting at is the technological advancements that we've seen from 1945 to 2005, all right, that's 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
So to 1949 to 2012 will be 60 years.
60 years.
And that's like going from the Stone Age to the Industrial Age. You
my parents used to listen to the radio in 1945.
Yeah.
It wasn't even television.
It wasn't even television.
I mean, people listened to the radio. That was the big thing. And the television didn't really come into
the
mass
50s,
market
yeah.
until...
The 50s.
And only a few people had them then. And it wasn't really till the late 50s that most
right.
people had
and
them.
Communications were done by phone, but the phone was only... 50 years old.
And you maybe talked to somebody once a week.
But phone technology was only developed at the turn of the 20th century.
When I think about it, my mother had a sister, and she maybe talked two sisters. She maybe talked to them once a week on the telephone, and they were very close. That's practically unheard of today because phone service is so common. People are talking to people all the time, not once a week, maybe once or twice a day.
Right.
Well, let's try to step this up into what we're going to experience the next 3 years with this Mayan calendar, and look at what we have to work with. Now, Leo, what you were saying from 1945 to 1985, what 40 years, and then 60 years would be from 2005?
Be equal to 60 years.
So, all right, we're going to be experiencing 60 years of growth within the next 3 years.
Amazing.
From a normal, when I say growth experience or a maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I was talking about last year about the possibilities of after the sixth night, coming out of this period where we won't need a vehicle to get from point A to point B. All we have to do is close our mind and direct ourselves, and we would be there. And
Anthony is on the line.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, everybody. I'm listening, George.
Okay, but let me finish my point, Anthony.
You're still up to join the show.
Anthony, your friend Adam is on the line, too, from California.
Oh, wonderful. Go ahead, George.
Well, in talking about the technology phase that we're going into now, I mean, we can manufacture anything we can dream of, and we've done it. I still think of Luke Skywalker and his car that he had that ride it above water and so forth, above the land. Who's to say that we don't have that technology now? But, you know, in years, will we need that technology any longer? Because we can actually draw to ourselves what we want. It's understanding scalar waves where you're not dealing with time. You're outside the confines of time where everything is instantaneous. Just like there's a part of us that has kicked in, and it's part of this awakening our consciousness to the emotional body, that we can experience something just like I can go to Venus and I can experience certain things on Venus, and yet I'm back again. I'm not restricted by any physical, the physical hindrances of it, and even the hindrances of time, because it's instantaneous.
Hmm.
So I'm saying that, you know, at the end, or going into this sixth day, we are rebuilding, you know, what we need. Do we really need, you know, a car uses a lot of gas? Or should we go to, let's say, electromagnetic car where it's not going to cost anything and we're taking everything we need from the atmosphere? I'm talking about for an energy source. But the vehicle itself we can still make, if that makes us feel better, of having a seat with a seat belt that we buckle in so for our own safety. But, you know, these are all concepts of reality that we draw toward ourselves. On a collective consciousness, it's like a fire. You light a match, and if you have people who are interested, you can build a big fire. And I'm talking about fire in a form of focus, mass focus, or unity focus. And now we're at a point where anything and everything that we've thought about or we follow is manifesting, good or bad. It doesn't matter which perspective, but it's going to happen, and it's going to manifest that reality is.
Well, it's
there.
Not even that. Like, for instance, if we could, if through through the diplomatic work of Obama, all right, through the diplomatic corps, and through positive encouragement toward the Palestinians, all right, in this thing, positive
or the negative one?
What's that?
Or the negative thoughts?
Negative or positive will produce the negative or positive results, and
we're going to reproduce both results.
And all I'm saying is that if we can inject some hope, for these people, that there might be a way out of their problems, then that will manifest into a positive action, and peace will probably happen there. But if we can do this and project this throughout the world, all right, then what we will be doing is manifesting that concert, positive and enlightened consciousness to the world and to other people, and elevating them to that level through education and through through being cooperative and being friendly, as opposed to being belligerent and dropping bombs on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
George.
Leo, it doesn't have, it's not all positive. I mean, just as positive you want to be, there's a negative side to that, and there's a cause, and it's just as real as the good.
Oh,
but
yeah,
you're
yeah.
only you're looking at it through a positive sense, and you can't do that.
No, I don't believe you. I believe that that if you inject enough positivity into a project, into an area, into something, into a goal, then you're going to achieve that. You may have negative aspects that'll come about.
Well, those negative aspects are real, and they have the right just as much as your good points.
But you don't achieve anything in life unless you're prepared to overcome that those negative aspects.
That's not true, Leo. That's not true.
I mean, I don't. I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
you do achieve things, but it's
to the good.
But not to the good if you have a negative impulse.
Well, what I'm saying
is,
if you get away with
that.
A negative impulse, if you take away that negativity, okay, in your thinking, then input positive strokes, positive thinking, determination to overcome any obstacle that exists. All right,
guys. Here's the thing.
I think you're
Go ahead.
There's expansion energy, and then there's vacuum energy. Now, the idea of one is positive and one is negative is simply a matter of perspective. All things exist, meaning that the perspective of it being positive and the perspective of it being negative exist simultaneously. But there is a difference in the energy, but your perspective of whether it's positive or negative is simply your perspective. And if you think that it is positive, then so it will be.
There you go.
But that doesn't mean that your friend will think the same way.
No,
look, collectively in the universe, collectively in this country, most people agree that murder is wrong. That's not a positive thing. That stealing is wrong. There's some universals that we all hold on to, that we all operate under as being aware.
Not everybody believes that. And even if you said that it's a collective perspective, it's simply still a perspective. Now, the more people that believe that it's a negative or a positive perspective, the more energy that is created and the more consciousness of it being that perspective is created.
Well, I understand.
That doesn't change the fact that it's simply a matter of perspective.
There's one component and one factor within this expansion, contraction, positive, negative conversation that we're having, whereas there is absolute, and absolute is compassion and love. And that's neither existence nor non-existence. And love just is. Compassion just is. And that has to be the focus of your being if and when we plan on, I guess, evolving to where we want to evolve to. But, George, I had one quick question, if you don't mind. We are in the sixth. We're in the sixth day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going towards. This conversation has been going on for almost a year, 2 years, or however long. But I want to lean forward a little bit and understand a bit of the sixth night, so we can kind of understand the evolvement and the processes that are going on. Because this year we are going to have an exponential growth in our knowledge and understanding of reality that mankind has never seen.
Anthony, the only thing I could answer you with, I think, is my own personal experience, because I live a certain way, and I do say I did use the sixth night, and I did focus in on those things that were important, and if nothing else, it's just to refine my intent and where I was going and put things in motion. And I put them in motion, and they just went. And I have to say that I'm no longer on Long Island. I'm up in upstate New York, I live in a log cabin house overlooking several acres with a beautiful country. But, you know, this has been my heart's desire in a change, you know, that I was looking for. But instead of focusing in on this or that specifically, I just let it flow. And this is what I ended up with. But, you know, I have boxes of stuff that I want to get out from my old library and so forth. But, you know, at this point, I don't know if that's what I want anymore or if this environment that I put myself is something, it's something that I wanted. But, you know, instead of looking at it and trying to get something out of it, I'm going to have it show me. It's not only the environment, but it's also my lifestyle. Show me, I think, a little bit more of the outside world than, what I've been programmed to see from the inside, and that's using the mind from a programmed point of perspective. It's using the emotional body, but the body itself, instead of 50%, I'm using it now, let's say 80%, and it's directing me and driving me. But it's only through my intent that I have to focus in on, and my heart will follow.
Is this where we are supposed to go into the emotional, into an emotional state and a non-thinking state?
Well, I think it's redefining, what we want individually, but also, you know, on a whole, and that's basically with what's been going on with politics now. Our country is going through this change, or a time where we could turn the corner, and we have turned the corner.
Right.
And instead of looking for what's lurking behind, it's just letting it show itself. And that's why I focused into the good aspects of, you know, a miracle happening last week, and what you're talking about, Obama, and releasing, you know, those old bonds that we've had with this last administration. I mean, it's good news, and it's good. So I'm not judging it and looking for anything other than, you know, whatever it brings. And I think with the energies that are out there right now, with the focus of the people, and I'm talking about good and bad. We're going to make a difference.
Let's go back for a minute to what you had mentioned last week, that flight 1549.
Yes.
Now, there was a case, I believe strongly, was the more I thought about it, what happened, was there was a case of what Adam had said about expansion of a good or evil intent. Now, good or bad intent. Now, you had 155 passengers and a crew and a pilot, co-pilot, all focused on survival, all praying and focusing on survival, okay, and not one negative thought of death, all focused thought on survival. And you know, the amazing thing was, is there you had not one person died in a crash that could have killed everyone, all right? So, it you know, there was a case where you saw that complete a manifestation of desired, and that desire to live, which was created there, that in that miracle of Flight 1549.
I'm going to go off the limb here and say, you know what? It was the angels that did that and helped that, you know, and that is part of the connection that we're having now with the angelic world, that they're not only coming down, they're making a difference, and we're connecting with them. But part of that is what we've learned in the fifth night, that we do have that we are connected with that other side of us. And in the dream world, in a sense, we are in contact with some of these entities, you know, in that dimensional reality that they're at. But that's part of the closing of the gap that we're experiencing. Our energies and our consciousness is raising, and they're coming down a bit. So we're meeting halfway. And if meeting halfway is saving all these people on an airplane, God bless it.
Hey, let me end with this.
Meeting of the aliens. Go ahead.
Hey, this thought, George, was what? Just to say what you're saying. Man can communicate with man. You can communicate with angels, or you can communicate with God. Now, as far as I'm concerned, now Emerson said this, and I prefer the thought of communicating with God, going to the direct man. I don't need to reroute myself through Saint Hojo or you know.
Yes, but some people do though, Leo. That's all.
I mean, you go to the man, you go to the person in charge, and you say, you know, save my ass, okay? And that's exactly what 155 people did. They said, you know, they went direct to the direct route, and whatever it was, be it God or be it their own will to survive and their own imaginations, believing that they survived this and they would survive it, that they did survive it.
So my
feeling is that you either go, you always go to the man, all right, and
woman
or woman, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Go to the
well. If you go to his angels, then you are going to him, and if he comes to you, he's either going to come to you through his angels or other means. So I don't know if it necessarily matters who you go to first. It's always going to go to him because you are one. Because you are literally one with him.
Not to
you are one with him.
Degrade you in any way, Adam. But if I were on the verge of dying, all right, and my plane was crashing, I don't think I'd go to Adam. Nor do I think I would go to George or Angel George to say, get me out of this. The first thing that I would be thinking of is, God, get me out of this, all right?
That is a choice, and that is the choice that you have decided to make, and I think it is a positive choice, and I think it is definitely the right choice for you.
You go to, I mean, you're not going to go to the girl sitting next to you and say, please, get me out of this.
Somebody may very well choose to do that, and that very well may give them the empowerment to create positive fields around them that precipitate their survival.
But once you connect with the Godhead,
you're connected right this moment.
Yeah, and in essence, you're connected to the Christ, which is you, which is the highest and best of you, your mind, your body, your spirit. Okay, so your Christ head, your Christ aspect of you is what will get you out of this, out of that.
Right, thing. And that initiates itself
right
through the choices you make to ignite it, and those choices can be infinite because it is all connected.
That's right, that's absolutely right. It's an infinite possibility, but again, that goes straight to the Godhead.
All choices go straight to God.
Well, I want to jump back, if I can, to what you were saying before, Leo, about the Muslims and the Israelis. Now, there is two sides to the story.
Muslims and Israelis?
Right, the conflict that we have over there in the Middle East.
The Palestinians.
I'm sorry.
Let me correct you in that. They are not all Muslims. There are many Palestinian Christians.
Okay. Okay.
That is a good point.
It's almost half and half, so you need to recognize that.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's a nation.
In understanding part of the Muslim just here is fighting for the holy jihad. A holy jihad is the ending of meeting up with God.
Survival.
Excuse me?
An oppressive country. The concept of the Palestinian issue is they're just trying to survive and to establish their right to exist, mm-hmm. which Israelis has denied and are continuing to deny within the genocide they're doing.
They're living in a walled ghetto.
Yeah.
And they're under occupation. Now, people who are occupied, even under the United Nations Charter, have a right to resist.
Exactly. Under the United Nations Charter.
This is an occupation. They are not living free.
No.
That is a myth perpetrated and believed by the American press.
They do the same thing to us.
Yeah.
Well,
but, Israel was even condemned by the UN on this. By the head of the UN, president of the UN, what he saw and what they were doing was barbaric.
Well, guys,
right?
Guys, Hamas is like sending missiles into Israel every day, and that's one of the reasons why all this started.
They voted,
and the people that are living in Hamas voted for Hamas, and then Hamas stripped away everything that the people had and are killing them, and then they're trying to kill everybody in Israel because their operating system or their culture is such a lower density vibration that it's a terrible problem, and there is absolutely zero simplistic solution to the problem.
Holy, do you know what the simplistic problem was? Is a guy like Ariel Sharon who said that he was proud, he was pleased, he was the greatest thing he ever did was single-handedly kill 750 Palestinians by himself. All right.
Right.
And
because.
He's
brainwashed.
That this son of a bitch rabbi, okay, recently just pronounced that it was. He told Omar that the Talmud said it was perfectly right. If you kill 100, you can kill 1,000. If you kill 1,000, you might as well kill 1,000,000. Wipe the Palestinians off the face of the earth. That was his exact words. Now you tell me that these are humane people that we're dealing with. No.
Leo.
They are still humans, after all.
There you go. They are, you know, they still are human beings in a sense.
You got to wonder, George.
You know, in talking about this, you know, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is where I can find some compassion in the whole thing. And, you know, understanding an Israeli drive or Islamic drive, it's basically the same thing to unite with God through salvation. And basically all Christians, the main gist of our belief is actually that salvation. So how we get to the salvation is a different story. And, you know, some of these people believe what they think is real. And
I'll aid to Israel. That's the only way you're going to have any kind of peace.
Well, you have it.
No. There, Israel can't fix this. United States cannot fix this. Nobody
can
fix this. The only possible solution is a long period of time, a slow process of assimilation of the children of this dark age, lower density operating system that these people have continually passed on and passed on into generations and generations.
People.
It must be a slow
density
assimilation
system.
That's the only way. That's the only way. Even if you blew up all of the Middle East, there would still be people that would survive, and there would be still people spread out across the globe so angry at the atrocity of what you just did that they will create and keep reproducing this lower-end operating system.
But what's the
There is no simple solution.
What's the
no,
higher?
Humanity. If the people develop a sense of humanity and a sense of compassion in the culture,
right, and slowly assimilate them and show them love. Absolutely.
Well, I want to jump up a level here, and all I'm asking for is an intervention that would take our mind off of this and change our thinking.
I don't want my mind taken off the idea that we don't go in and slaughter people, and I don't want to be distracted from that. That's one of the reasons why Leo and I started a radio show and a radio program was because
a television program
for 10 years because we don't believe it's okay. And
it's not okay.
And we believe.
Well, how do you fix it? How can you fix it?
I just mentioned that the only way to fix it 100% is, like I said, evolution. assimilation and upgrading people's operating system. If you go in there and you try to fix the problem by slaughtering people, you are actually adding to the problem.
Yeah,
if you do nothing, you're basically putting yourself in danger. So the key word is protection of yourself for every individual, protection of themselves from this dark age operating system, and love to the people in ways in which you can help the children to somehow assimilate them out of that mentality. And that's really the most ethical way to do it.
Maybe we should turn it over to the kids, and the kids will take us out.
No, that's the
opposite. Absolutely. You have to protect the kids from regenerating the low-density Dark Age operating system. You must save them from the operating system before it takes hold.
Listen, you start shooting them with depleted uranium bullets. You start blowing up their houses. You start killing their parents. You start massacring them by the thousands. You starve them and mutilate them. That is that low-end density expansionism, or whatever you're saying, okay, is exactly what's going on. And that in no
right, and that's not the way to go.
Well, who's to say that the body can't compensate for something like that, you know, in a short period of time, like a year or two?
Absolutely.
Who's to say? That's the intervention I'm talking about.
George, what's going to happen is you're going to if the Israelis continue this continual belligerent domination and occupation of Palestine, all that's going to happen is it's going to create
a greater hatred
of
yeah.
them. They will eventually destroy them, destroy both cultures possibly, but they'll definitely have a horrid effect on Israel.
Well, you guys can be rest assured that if the earth, when and it, everybody's saying that it's going to upgrade into the fourth density,
mm-hmm.
these people's operating system will not be, what's the word I'm looking for, compatible. Does that make any sense?
There you go.
Their low density operating system is not compatible with the fourth density Earth. And what will happen to them?
Nice analogy. Very good.
What will happen to them is debatable. There are possibilities. One of the possibilities is that the Earth will swallow them. Another possibility is that their molecular structure will not be able to withstand the high energies, and they will all discombobulate. They might just simply survive and die out naturally because they don't have the technological resources and the brain power to communicate with the new world that's coming. I don't know what the answer is.
I think all
all the above.
Whatever you can imagine, whatever you can put into form. Okay.
That is so true, because this is the year where we're going to gain more knowledge than the history of man has ever had in our years that we've been on this planet. George, if you could very briefly, I know we're going over time, but what are the qualities of the sixth night, and how is it best for me to kind of prep my lean forward a bit so I can understand the sixth night?
Well, it's using your intent to the fullest, and I think it's something instead of using or saying something in past tense, you know, use it in present tense. I am doing something, not I want to do something, or if I think it's focusing in, and I think your regular consciousness will just step up a level and put you in that environment.
And that's certainly something that we can elaborate on more next week, and probably this is a good time to end.
Anthony, it's like buying or wanting to buy a car, a sports car. Hey, I'd like to buy that car. But, you know, if looking at that, and if you're serious in that intent, in a matter of a couple of days, that car will be in your driveway. And you don't have to really put anything into it other than your initial intent, and the means will find you.
That's essentially where we're going to be headed.
Wherever our mind is, on different levels, it is going to draw you or that to you without you knowing, or consciously and subconsciously.
And when is
it's like a dream.
Night?
So plant your seeds now. Plant as many seeds as you can.
Anthony,
when is the sixth night? When is the sixth night?
The sixth night will come November the 5th, I believe.
Okay.
But imagine this year as a dream, that you're actually moving in this dream. You're making this dream move. And it's a waking dream. And that's what the sixth day is all about. And you're putting in motion. And you're building, you're drawing, and it's here. Just like the crisis, we met the crisis, and now from the ashes we build anew. But it's putting things in motion, and whatever you put out there is going to come back at you.
Plant as many seeds as you can right now.
Or
just take the seeds that you have. I mean, if you need more seeds, more will come. But don't go out there and look for trouble, in a sense. You know, take what you have on your plate and eat it.
And things great will come to you in the next year.
And I hope, as we
build into that fourth density, if you will,
I hope that during the week that the seed of talking about the sixth night flourishes during the week, and we all have a lot of answers for that next Friday.
Yeah, next week we'll focus in on that fourth dimension.
Fourth
dimensional reality.
We'll talk more about that next week.
We're at about 9:30, and
Adam, you still there?
We need to close.
Sure.
Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Adam, for your input tonight.
Thank you, Adam, and Anthony. You also.
Thank you to Anthony for joining us. Thanks a lot.
You folks are very powerful. Thank you.
And George, we appreciate you always. So we'll talk to you next week.
It's my pleasure.
Same time, same station, folks.
So, God be with you all.
All right. Good night, folks.
I'll see you.
Thanks for joining us.
Good night.